This is how it starts in John chapter 7, verse 2. Now the annual Feast of Tabernacles was approaching. So Jesus' brothers came to advise him, saying, "Why don't you leave the countryside villages and go to Judea where the crowds are, so that your followers can see your miracles? No one," verse 4, "no one can see what you're doing here in the backwoods of Galilee. How do you expect to be successful and famous if you do all these things in secret?" Do you see what they're saying? They're saying, listen, it's happening in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the big show. And everybody who wants to get known has to go to Jerusalem. If you want to be successful and you want to be famous, you've got to go there. Because in the natural, that made perfect sense. Let's continue reading. "Now," they say, "is your time. Go to Jerusalem, come out of hiding, and show the world who you are." Verse 5, his brothers were pushing him, even though they didn't yet believe in him as the Savior. Now let's look at the next verse, verse 6, and on this I want to read to you out of the Amplified. "Whereupon Jesus said to them," listen to this, "my time, opportunity, has not come yet." In the natural, it made perfect sense. If you want to be a world-famous preacher, go to camp meeting. Get on the big stage. Get in front of a big crowd, because that's what you got to do if you want every... I remember one time I was preaching in Belfast, Ireland, and the pastor had just gone on television. And he was really telling me I needed to go on television. And this is what he said. "I used to be like you. Then I went on TV and I became somebody." What he was telling me was, I used to be a nobody just like you. Then I went on TV and now everyone knows me. And he said, if you want to be known, you got to go on TV. And what I wanted to say is, what if I don't want to be like you, bonehead? What if I don't? People push you. And if you don't understand the will of God and God's sense of timing, they will push you right out of the will of God. Because in the natural, it makes sense. If you want to be famous, do this. If you want to get rich, do that. If you want to be known, do this. But what if that's not what God wants for you? What if that's not when God wants it for you? So Jesus said, "My opportunity has not come yet. But any," I love this, "any time is suitable for you." Because you don't know the will of God, you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, and think it's right, but it ain't right. He said, "I have a set time, and I'm moving at God's pace." But if you don't appreciate the will of God, do whatever you want, whenever you want. And your opportunity is whenever. Your opportunity is ready at any time, is always here. Go with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and listen to this. "Let's not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time," everyone say due time, "we will reap." We will reap in due time, but the mystery is, when is your time due? Listen. There are certain things we can do to cooperate with the will of God. We can develop our skill sets. We can learn to pray. There's different, but we cannot dictate God's calendar. I remember one time I was preaching this and a woman stood up and she said, "When is my due time due?" And the thing is, nobody can answer that but God. This is the reason why the apostle says, don't grow weary in doing well, because you have a due time. You have a time when everything is going to be manifested. Every dream will come to pass. Every word will be fulfilled. But maybe, perhaps, not now. But one of the things is, it's okay. See, I told you this was not going to be shouting, because we live in a culture, we want everything now. And if it's the will of God, I want it now. I want instant popcorn. I want instant coffee. I want instant satisfaction in every area of life. And this is why sometimes it's hard to be a Christian and an American at the same time. Because in my culture, I want everything now. In the kingdom, I don't get what I want when I want it. I get it when God says it's your due time. And sometimes I don't know what it is that he's waiting for. And I'm not the only one that's ever thought, God, right now would be the perfect time. And God says, not now. For in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. The same verse out of the Passion Translation says, don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you're planting or have planted is coming. Coming, but not yet. Now, all of that was just rambling. Now we'll start with the message. Put up on the screen, if you would, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. I want to read you a couple verses out of the Contemporary English. This is going to help you, even if it don't make you shout. Now the Lord says to me, and this is Isaiah, it isn't enough for you to be merely my servant. You must do more than lead back survivors from the tribes of Israel. I have placed you here as a light for other nations. You must take my saving power to everyone on earth. Israel, I am the holy Lord God, the one who rescues you. You are slaves of rulers and of a nation who despises you. Now is what I promise you. Now this is what I promise you. Kings and rulers will honor you by kneeling at your feet. You can trust me. I am your Lord, the holy God of Israel, and you are my chosen ones. Now he said, you can trust me, and I'm making you a promise. You can trust me. I'm making you a promise. You can trust me. I like Rick Renner says, sometimes God is El Shaddai, El Sneaky. Because he gives you enough to hang on. But he doesn't always give you the whole picture. You can trust me. I am your Lord, the Holy God of Israel, and you are my chosen ones. This is what the Lord says. I will answer your prayers because I have set a time when I will help by coming to save you. I have chosen you to take my promise of hope to other nations. You will rebuild the country from its ruins. Then people will come and settle there. You will set prisoners free from dark dungeons and see the light of day. On their way home, they will find plenty to eat, even on barren hills. This is the word of the Lord. Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. And in the time it just took Sister Fowler to go from one slide to the next, you just transported through 750 years of history. I want 750 years from the time Isaiah prophesied, I've set a time. You can trust me. I'm making you a promise. It's even hard to say. Because I find it hard waiting for 7 days. 700. Three quarters of a millennium. 750 years from the time God said, you can trust me, I'm making you a promise. I've set a time. To when Paul says this in verse 2 of chapter 6. For he says, at a favorable time I listened to you, and on a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Paul's quoting Isaiah and saying, y'all remember what Isaiah said 750 years ago? It's today. We're in the time now. But what about the time between when God said it? Wow. How many high priests do you think went into the Holy of Holies year after year and wondered, God, is that word ours? And the Spirit of grace would say, yes. And then the priest would say, is it now? And God would say, not now. 750 years. They wondered, is today the day when Messiah comes and makes everything right? Is 750 years they waited for God to do what he said he would do when he said, you can trust me. I am making you a promise. I watch over my word to perform it. Just not now. I don't want to preach this myself. Listen to this. From the moment of the fall of man in the garden, God spoke words of grace and said that the seed of a woman was coming and he would crush the head of the serpent. But how many years passed from that voice of grace till the time the word became flesh? And the one ushered in truth and grace. 4,000 years. Now, y'all listening to me? Is this the year? Is now the year of favor? Is this the time when my dream becomes reality? Is this the time when what you told me is going to come to pass? Father, am I finally through the hard times and entering into the place of wealth that you promised me? And God would say, the promises are yes, but the time is not now. See, the promises of mercy are yours at any time. Anytime you can be healed. Anytime you can be delivered. Anytime you can be set free. The promises that pertain to mercy are yes and amen. The promises that pertain to destiny may very well be not now. Because there are some things we have to wait for God's timing. And that can be confusing because I got to tell you, you know the thing that trains and frustrates flesh more than anything else? Waiting. Waiting is rough on the flesh. The flesh don't want to wait. 30 seconds for microwave popcorn? Come on! Can you not make it quicker? But in the kingdom, sometimes God's timing is not our timing. And our timing is not his timing. In the book of Luke, there's two amazing people. Is this okay this morning? I'm trying to give you hope. In Luke chapter 2, there's two wonderful people that were at the temple every day. Simon and Anna. Now, we don't know how old Simon was, but we know Anna was 84 years old, and she served at the temple daily. And we know that God had promised Simon that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. Now, there's a reason why the scripture correlates them, because however long Anna was there, Simon was there approximately the same amount of time. So it is implied that Simon was there for many decades. So you wonder, how many babies did Simon see? And wonder, is this the one? You promised me I would not die till I saw the Messiah. So is today the day I see the Messiah? Yes. Wow. Is the promise mine? Yes. Is today the day? Not now. Not that child. Not yet. Now, what you got to understand is, scholars will tell us that both Anna and Simon, how many even know there's old? And then there's old, old. I mean, old, old is when you're wondering, what's keeping that person around? I mean, there's old, and then there's like really old. Anna and Simon were like really old. They had far outlived the average lifespan, and yet, not now. Not yet. Not today. Lord, am I going to see the Messiah before I die? Because I'm old, old. I was young. And now I'm old. And God would say, not yet. Not now. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? Yet God did watch over his word because there came a day. There came a day. Everyone say there comes a day. There always comes a day when your time is due. When it's due, no devil in hell can stop it. When it's due, it's not dependent upon what political party's in power. When your time is due, it's coming. It's here. You can celebrate. But while you're waiting for that time, you've got to know God promised you and you can trust him. To trust the will of God, listen to this. To trust the will of God is to trust the timing of God. To trust the will of God is to trust the timing of God. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says this, but when the fullness of time, everyone say fullness. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. What made that the fullness of time? If you look it up in books or you Google it, they'll say the same thing. They'll ramble on about the Romans. The Romans built roads. The Romans had conquered most of the known world, and communication was easy. When I read that, I think, if that was the fullness of time based upon ease of communication and travel, then this would be a fuller fullness of time. Now, bear with me, because we got to think about some things. Was God really waiting for the Romans to build a road? I mean, was that really what it was all about? Because if it was about a Roman road, I-95 is a better road. I-75, you can travel faster than you can down the best of the Roman roads. And if it was about ease of communication, can you imagine today Jesus preaching to a crowd of 5,000 to 15,000, and every one of them have smartphones? I mean, let's think about this. 15,000 smartphones focused on Jesus. Before he finishes the Sermon on the Mount, it's global. It's on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Every word he says instantly, every miracle. What was it like when the woman pushed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment? Just look on Instagram. It's right there. We're talking about, if that was really the fullness of time, today would have been a better day. What I'm trying to tell you is this. It's not natural circumstances that determine the action of God. It's when God determines now is the time. And we don't always know when that time is, because we can't look at natural circumstances. God is not dictated to by earthly events. And what was it like when he healed the man by the pool? That's on Facebook. Today would have been a much better day. Because even with the best of Roman roads, you still had to hoof it. And that's a mighty long hike from Jerusalem to Rome. No matter how good the road was. What I'm saying to you is this. It's not about, God's not looking at the natural to determine when your due time is. I can't say for certainty what he's looking at, but I know that God, in his sovereign, supreme understanding, understands when it's the best time. And when he says today is the day, then not now becomes right now. But until God says that now is the time, God, is it mine? Yes, it's yours. I have a friend of mine that some years ago bought a top-of-the-line pickup. Man, it was pretty. And I made a comment. I said, man, that's a nice truck. And he said, that's my son's truck. His son wasn't about 8 or 9 years old. He said, I bought that truck for my son. It's my son's truck. Now, I want you to imagine that this conversation took place between father and son. Son, daddy, is that my truck? Yes. Can I drive it? Not now. But it's my truck. Yes. It's your truck. It's yours. Can I have it? Not now. All of the promises of God are ours. And we hold on to him with tenacity because we know he's made a promise and we can trust him. We don't allow the calendar, a Gregorian calendar, to dictate the faithfulness of God. What if 1 year passes? Does that somehow change God? What if 2 years pass? Does that somehow change God? What do we do when we're hearing not now? We hold on. Because he's made us a promise. I don't know why that was the fullness of time, and neither do the scholars. I don't know why Abraham had to wait till he was 100. I mean, let's think about it. Sarah was always barren. It would have been just as massive a miracle if he could have had that child at 30. Because he still had to overcome the barrenness of Sarah's womb. That's huge. Wouldn't 50 have been good? I mean, come on, 70, dude. That's 70. I can imagine Abraham going, God, I'm 80 years old, bro. I love you, Adonai, but I'm old. Is today the day? Not now. Why did he have to wait till he was 100? I don't know. But God made a promise, and you can trust him. I don't know why Moses had to wait till he was 80. Why couldn't he have done what he did when he was at his prime? Why? I don't know why from the time God told me I would preach on foreign soil, 14 years had to pass till I finally did. I don't know why. I don't know why your dreams take so long. I don't know why from the time of his expression of grace to the manifestation of grace, you need to wait. But I do know if he's made you a promise, you can trust him. Even if the time you're in is not now. Because see, yes and now are both three-letter words, but they're not the same word. Yes does not mean yes right now. And delay, hear me when I say this, delay is not denial. There will come a time when not now morphs into right now. And we'll preach on that next week. And when it's right now, baby, you better get ready to move. Because God's suddenlies are never sudden. But when it's not now, we don't grow weary in doing well. Is this helping you? Go with me to Genesis chapter 16. No, Galatians 6 verse 9. Let's read that again. As I say this, listen, patience is painful. There's a reason why the Bible says you have need of patience. You need it. Because being patient, I wrote a book. I need to reprint it. I wrote a book on patience. You know why I wrote a book on patience? Because I ain't got none. In the natural, I don't like waiting. My wife can tell you I'm a right now kind of guy. If she says, love, I would love to remove that wall, I'm breaking it out before I know what's behind it. Have sledgehammer, will destroy, no problem. I've discovered demo's easy, remodel not so much. And I've learned that the hard way. But we have need of patience because sometimes God wants us to simmer just a little bit more. But you can trust him. So let's not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time we will reap. But Abraham and Sarah decided that they could not wait, and they jumped ahead of God. Y'all ever heard of Ishmael? Do you know what the Bible says about Ishmael? Genesis 16, verse 12. He'll be a wild donkey of a man. You really don't want to give birth to an Ishmael. Ishmaels are uncontrollable. This is what he'll be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live in defiance of all of his brothers. To this day, we are dealing with someone trying to jump ahead of God. And there's a great scene in Braveheart. Y'all ever watch Braveheart? There's a great scene, and I've been to Scotland, and I have beheld that which they said was William Wallace's sword. It could have been anyone's. It could have been made in China. I don't know, but they said it belonged to William Wallace. Don't touch. I've gotten chased out of museums for ignoring that. I got chased out of a museum in Moscow. Not a good place to get chased out of a museum. Said, do not touch, and I thought it'd be kind of cool to touch St. Peter's, or St. Peter, you know, Peter the Great's and reached out and rubbed it. And right about then I hear, hubba. And there's a big old Russian guard chasing me. When a big Russian guard chases you in Russia, you run. Just in case you ever make it there. But there's a great scene in Braveheart that I think really, William Wallace places a ragtag band of farmers. You got to understand, the Scots didn't have modern day weapons. The Scots had sticks and stones. Most likely there was one man there with a sword, and that would have been William Wallace, which is why he was the general. So William Wallace, everyone else had sticks and stones. Not William, man. So William positions his ragtag band of soldiers at the bottom of a hill. Anyone knows if you're in a battle, you want top of the hill. You want high ground. William deliberately puts him at the bottom of a hill. That makes even the farmers nervous. And I'm going somewhere with this. At the top of the hill sits an unbeatable army with cavalry. A cavalry that's never been defeated in battle. You got armored men sitting atop armored horses at the top of the hill. This ain't looking good. And when the King of England says to, they take off down the hill. So you got armored men sitting on top, armored horses coming down at a full gallop downhill. Sometimes the man with the sword knows things farmers don't know. See, the farmers didn't know that the horses coming downhill at full gallop, clothed in armor with armored men sitting atop of them, wouldn't be able to stop real fast. How many of you know and understand there are sometimes God knows more than you do? You think, God, this don't look good. The enemy is about to run me over. The enemy is about to obliterate. This is gonna hurt. And in the movie, you can see the Scots like getting real nervous, and they're looking because William Wallace is standing there yelling, hold! And they're like, hold nothing. What he's saying is, don't run. Don't leave your position. Now is not the time to quit. Do not take action. Hold! And the horse is coming, man. You're getting hit with spit from the horses. And the Lord of Heaven's armies is saying to you, hold. Hold. God, this ain't looking good. Everything's about to fall apart. The enemy's got high ground. I've got nothing. Hold. Because at the last minute in the movie and in history, they dropped their farming equipment and they picked up spikes. But the horses had so much momentum, there was no stopping them. And that which the enemy thought was going to destroy, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every word spoken over you in judgment, you will condemn and overcome. But there are times you got to hold, because if you move too quick, the plan ain't going to work. But at the last moment, they pulled it up, and the cavalry that had never been beaten was beaten that day. If you and I will just understand, not now doesn't mean not ever. Not now doesn't mean you'll never have it. It just means let me do a thing that will blow your mind. Something that's never been done before. Defeat an enemy in your history and in your legacy and in your family that's never been defeated before. Let me do it. And while I'm doing it, you just need to hold. Hold your peace. Hold your ground. Hold your confession. Don't let it go. It's yours. Daddy, is that truck mine? Oh, yes, yeah, son, it's yours. Can I have it? Not now. Someday, but not now. Can I continue just a little bit more? Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. And we'll close with this verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. And in the New American Standard says, you have need of endurance. King James, you have need of patience. So that when you have, listen to this, when you have done the will of God. You've obeyed. You did what he told you to do. Now you have need of patience. Why? So that you may receive what was promised. You don't need, listen, I'm going to help you with this. You don't need patience before you've obeyed. That'd be like me waiting patiently for a check to come from a company I don't even work for. Right? I don't need to be patiently waiting for Friday to get a check from BMW when I never even stepped in the plant. Amen. But it's after I've done the will of God. After I prayed the way he told me to pray, after I gave what he told me to give, after I went where he told me to go, after I obeyed his instructions, now I have need. I need patience. Why? Because I've done what you instructed me to do. Now, God, is today the day of my harvest? Yes. Not now. When it's not now, it doesn't mean not ever, and it doesn't mean we give up. It just means God gave a promise, and I trust. I don't know why it's taking so long. I don't understand all of the things that he's working out, but I do know this. Before I know anything else, all things work together for my good. And when God changes not now into right now, it's going to be the perfect time. It's going to be sheer perfection because everything he does is perfect. Even when in his perfection, I have to hold. Stand to your feet this morning. Next week, I hope there's more shouting. Because next week, we'll be talking about right now.